Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board with us, and also our delight to have you join in the dialogue and discussion as we have the discussion today on the issue of the day. Your call, your insight, your question, your comments, your rebuttal, all welcome. We'd love to hear from you. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're going to be talking about today a very controversial subject, controversial among secularized people, controversial among the liberals and the left in the House and the Senate, controversial among Christians. And that question that we're going to deal with today, should Christians be armed? Better put, should Christians have the right to keep and bear arms? Should we as Christians be concerned about that? There are pacifists today that believe that somehow, some way, we just sit down, we sound asleep, close our eyes, ignore the situation, and somehow, some way, God's going to take care of it. Well, I'm not being critical of God's sovereignty, of his ability to care for us, but should we have the right to keep and bear arms, number one? That's constitutional. That's Second Amendment. Should it be infringed upon, number two? And thirdly, should Christians be armed? Should we have weapons? Should we own weapons? Should we have them in our home? Should we carry them for self-defense? Some have debated that and argued that and said no, and some have said yes. And so the question is, how do you stand on that issue? What are your thoughts on that issue? We'll talk about that today. Let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we discuss the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inner Word of God that has the final authority. It's the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus himself said, as he's speaking to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, that we should depend upon, nothing more, nothing less. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am truth. It's the truth of the Word of God. Jesus then says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It is the truth of God's word that should direct our pathway. It's the truth of God's word that should cause us to be motivated and mandated to do what we do that would honor him and please him in every phase and facet of our lives. And so as we face the truth book today, the truth issue today, we need to ask the question, is it right for Christians to keep and bear arms? What should we do? How should we respond? There are those that think that somehow, some way, that we ought not to speak the truth, that truth is something that some way needs to be bifurcated or changed or modulated because of the realm of where we are in society. But, ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist, George Orwell, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place today across America. Those that speak the truth are being demeaned, denied position in society, and dissed, as the world calls it today, and literally despised on every hand. But it's the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that made such a powerful statement. Jan Hus said, as I believe that we need to recognize and be involved in, says, therefore, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, tell the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's where we ought to stand today, is standing on the truth. And the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, that when we look at the Scripture, what does the Scripture say about the right to keep and bear arms? What does it say about the Second Amendment right and the right of Christians? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a full staff, ladies and gentlemen, a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment, as well as the professional landscape equipment and the lawn care equipment for the homeowner. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Some have said, well, how can I find it? There's a gigantic, huge benchmark, ladies and gentlemen. It's the 165-foot flagpole with the gigantic U.S. flag flowing 24/7, located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Right at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world of contradictions today. We live in a world of confusion today. Perhaps one of the areas of most contradiction and confusion, especially for the Christian. If you're a Christian, you listen to me. This is especially true for the Christian. There's the confusion and contradiction on behalf of Christians today. And that is, should Christians be armed? Should Christians carry a weapon? Should Christians get a permit for personal carry? Should Christians have a weapon for self-defense? Does the Bible teach anything about self-defense? Does the Bible teach that Christians should defend themselves? Did the Lord Jesus Christ commend self-defense? Did the Lord Jesus Christ point out anything to his disciples about the need for self-defense? But ladies and gentlemen, across denominational lines, some are simply pacifist. You say, what is a pacifist? According to Webster's Dictionary, a person who believes that any war or any violence of all kinds is simply unjustified. That's a pacifist. Those who believe that Christians are simply a moral society, any moral society, any Christian society, any Christian should not stand for, stand up for, or stand against, or face the enemy, are simply ignorant, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, what the Bible teaches. We're not to go out and seek to hurt, to harm, to kill anyone. But, ladies and gentlemen, we are charged with the responsibility of self-defense. Biblically, self-defense is found in the Scripture. As I've used so often and have in the book that I had the privilege of authoring and publishing a number of years ago called The Doctrine of Self-Defense, I say that the doctrine of self-defense is codified in the Scripture, confirmed by the U.S. Supreme Court, and in the Constitution, and is to be carried out by we the people. Now, that's a very simple little statement that I made, but I believe it to be true, and I have in my hands the book entitled The Doctrine of Self-Defense. It's just a four-chapter book. It's less than 100 pages. It's not an expensive book. It retails for $10.99, but I'm going to offer that to anybody that calls today, every caller that will call in, and let's have some dialogue and discussion. Leave your information with Roger, and we will send you this book. Won't cost you a dime. We'll even pay the postage. For anyone that calls in today, you'll have dialogue and discussion about the right to keep and bear arms and the question, should Christians be armed? I believe we have a call on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I do believe that Christians should be armed. Before Christ found me, I spent some time in the military. I was at the pointy end of the stick in a pretty elite unit. And I believe that if we don't defend ourselves, who will? Also, there's multiple passages in the Bible. When the Israelites were released from Babylon, they rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. They had a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other.
Nehemiah
I firmly believe
verse 16. You're right.
So I do believe that we have the right to defend ourselves, and I believe that we should. I believe our nation was founded on that very right. George Washington was on his knees praying often for his army and for his men, and he heavily recruited individuals that were frontiersmen that had superior weaponry than the standardized smoothbore rifles that were in the possession of the Continental and the British armies there. Anybody that researches history can easily find this out.
Absolutely. You're exactly right, and I'm thankful for your statement. In fact, George Washington said, if I can insert this little quote for our edification, George Washington said, firearms are second only to the Constitution in importance, that they are the people's liberty teeth. Thomas Jefferson said, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. James Madison said, Americans have the right and the advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries where governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Samuel Adams said, the Constitution shall never be construed to prevent the people of the United States who are peaceable citizens from keeping their own arms. And I could go on and on and on. And you're exactly right in your statement. The Bible is replete with evidence of the right to keep and bear arms. And we're going to talk about that and look at several biblical texts during the course of this broadcast today. But your insight is absolutely correct. And I will also remind you and our listeners today, one of the primary things that allows a nation to go into Marxism, socialism, Leninism, Maoism, ultimately called communism, is to disarm the people. Disarm the people. And you have Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and the squad and all of those in the Beltway in Washington that are now, they've got six bills ready to take our arms to disarm Americans. Yet they believe in walls around the White House and the Capitol complex, but they do not believe in walls around the southern border. They believe in weapons and armament. They have that around the Capitol complex, but somehow, some way, they think that we, the people, as I call it, they look at us as the peons. We're the slave servants to churn out the taxes for them to spend as they please and lavish upon themselves. But somehow, some way, we're not to be protected. But even beyond that, the question we're going to talk about today and delve into with some detail is the right of Christians to be armed. So, brother, you're exactly right. Thank you so much for your call, for your insight, for the input in this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about with the question, should Christians be armed? And we're finding today with Biden and the Democrats, with the mindset somehow, some way, that America needs to be disarmed. Today, as America is on the fast track, listen, America, we, the people, our nation, is on the fast track today, rushing headlong towards socialism and communism. We must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that communism is not possible. Hear me. Communism for any nation is not possible. May I reverse that statement and say, communism for any country is impossible. Impossible. Not possible at all for any nation where its citizens have the right to keep and bear arms. It's an impossibility to overthrow, overtake, and control a nation that has its citizens armed with the right to keep and bear arms. That is the very first thing on the track today. Perhaps you've noticed, as I touched on with our previous caller, the fortification today that's around the White House and the Capitol complex. It is high fences with razor wire at the top, with armed guards securing it. And yet, somehow Nancy Pelosi and the others believe that they need to be secured, but we the people are not, that we cannot be secured. And by the way, they started out with 26,000 armed military for the inauguration, and now it has continued, and they're saying, Biden is saying that he wants the armed patrol, he wants the National Guard to protect the Capitol complex until later in the fall. What is it that he's planning on doing that will cause him to believe there's going to be a need for armed protection of the Capitol complex and the those in the Beltway in Washington? I believe we have John on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood. What is today? Happy Tuesday. Happy Wednesday. Yes. I'm retired law enforcement. I cannot imagine I have two sons that are police officers now. I cannot imagine us being unarmed, because then the only people that are going to have weapons are the bad guys, and they're not going to go to the store and buy them. They're just going to steal them from someplace or whatever. So I can't imagine being unarmed. But when you start, if you have a concealed weapons permit, or if you buy a weapon for home protection, there's a responsibility that goes along with having deadly force, that people should, first off, they should make a determination as to whether they could use deadly force or not. Because if they can't and they display a weapon, it could very well be taken away from them by the person that's breaking into their home or going to hurt them or whatever, and then use it on them. So you have to reconcile within yourself whether you could actually use deadly force or not. And the second thing is, if you are going to buy a weapon, you really need to become familiar with it, because I was with family. We were at an indoor range, and there was a young couple that were there. They didn't even know how to load their semi-automatic that they had bought. So we showed them how to do it, but it's kind of dangerous when you have people. It's almost like if you buy a weapon, you should have to go through some kind of a class to become familiar with it. So first off is, if you're going to purchase a weapon, you should decide within yourself whether you could actually be able to, whether you would use deadly force. And the second thing is, please, you know, become familiar with it, practice with it, that type of a thing, so that you become familiar with it. So if you do have to use it, you will be effective with it.
Absolutely. Those are well taken points. And I'm in full agreement with each of those statements. And I am of the opinion that that should be understood by anyone that would purchase a weapon, that they need to be trained and understand how to operate it to use it safely. Now, the next question that I'll ask you, and I'm thankful for your insight on that, you're right. In fact, I have a number of family members that's in law enforcement, and I'm extremely familiar with what you're talking about and the need for those that are going to pull a weapon out to know how to use it and to be able to prevent it from being taken by the aggressor. But the question that I need to ask you, and perhaps you're prepared to answer it, should Christians, we're talking, what you just said is good for the general public, and I'm in agreement. Should Christians be be armed and be prepared for self-defense?
I believe as a Christian, we have a responsibility to be able to protect ourselves. It's kind of like I had somebody, he told me, well, I'm not going to wear a bulletproof vest because Jesus is going to take care of me. I'm going, wait a minute. We need to do everything possible. We need to do everything possible because God provided the bulletproof vest, so why not we wear it? Now, if I get shot in the head or somewhere else and I end up dying, that was meant to be. So, yes, as a Christian, I believe that we have the responsibility to be able to protect ourselves, because it's so interesting how people think this is not a bad place to be. Well, the devil's running around having a great time right now. So, yes, we should take on the responsibility of being able to protect ourselves as a Christian, to be able to do that. Because as a Christian, as a law enforcement officer, I protect myself, but mostly I wanted to protect the public. So I could be a Christian police officer and say, well, I'm not going to carry a gun because Christians don't carry guns. Well, that wouldn't make sense, because who could I protect? I couldn't protect other people, and I couldn't protect myself. So I think that it goes along with, as we are Christians, that we do have to provide an opportunity to protect ourselves. It's like I said, they're tools that we can use. Can they be used for bad? Of course they can, but they can be used for good too. So yes, I totally believe that that people that are Christians, they should be able to use whatever means necessary to be able to protect ourselves, because again, it's an evil place, and we're really having more. This is a spiritual battle. It's not a physical battle. I thank God that it's so obvious that it's going on right now, that all of these things that are happening, and it's not a political thing. It's an evil movement that's taking place.
You're exactly right. We're watching the absolute aura of demonic warfare that's taking place. And demonic warfare, that is Satan carrying out the warfare, is being fought out in the hearts and the lives of people in society today. In fact, when it comes to the question that begs to be asked and demands to be answered, should Christians carry a weapon? Should people be armed? Jesus, in Luke 22, verse 36 in particular, told his disciples, if you got two garments, sell one and buy a sword. Now, he didn't say go out and buy a 9mm or a Glock or anything of that nature. He said go buy a sword.
Right.
That was the weapon of choice in that era. Why would Jesus say that? To protect life. And when you go back and look at David when he came up against the giant, he didn't have a Glock. He didn't have an AR-15 or any other major, as they call it today, military-style weapon. As we'll look at with some of the bills that they've introduced today, but he had a sling and a rock, and he used that as self-defense, and he slew the giant, protected the nation of Israel as a result of that.
And he spent a lot of time practicing with that slingshot too, finding the right kind of the right kind of rocks to use. And to let people know, I was a police officer almost 30 years, never had to discharge my weapon while I was working, so I thank God for that. But it's just it is something that is there that's available for us. I don't know, maybe if we had slingshots and we were really good at them, but it's just being able to protect ourselves. I cannot imagine not having that opportunity. I feel like it's a responsibility that I have as a Christian to be able to protect myself and to protect others.
It's a Christian responsibility and protection of the family. It's a Christian responsibility and our responsibility to our community and as citizens in America that we are to carry out that responsibility. We're to do so in the way that would honor God and at the same time not be pacifist as some denominations teach today. But John, thank you so much for your wise words and
your
insight and what we need to hear as citizens today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the right to keep and bear arms. Should Christians be armed? Should Christians have weapons? Should Christians be able to defend themselves if there is an attacker or if there is an aggressor or someone breaking in the home? How should we respond? What should be our response in doing so? It is a very, very clear thing that in the scripture, I believe, that it tells us in Exodus chapter 22, for example, if a thief be found breaking up, that is breaking into your home, and be smitten that he die, there shall be no blood be shed for him. That is, if someone's breaking in your house and you shoot him, the scripture says you're protecting your rights. You're protecting your home and your family. I believe we have Joseph on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, there's many scriptures that support having a weapon. We're to be prepared and nothing wrong with self-defense. In Luke 3:14, John the Baptist told the soldiers to be content with your wages, implying that it's okay to be a soldier. In Luke 22:38, they told Jesus, we have two swords, and Jesus said, it is enough. And then there's the scripture about, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. So in this day and age, if you don't have a weapon in case some nut's trying to break into your house, that's not very good judgment.
You're exactly right, and I think it goes back to our being willing. Number one, and I don't diminish God's sovereignty at all, God is still on the throne. He's not asleep. He's not on vacation. He's not impotent. He is not powerless. He is all-powerful. He's seeing and watching and knowing, but at the same time, he gives us, if you put it this way, the plain old common sense to know what we ought to do. And when we look at the right to keep and bear arms, it goes back to a biblical concept. And as I say in my book, The Doctrine of Self-Defense, it's first of all codified in the scripture. It is confirmed by the courts. It is to be carried out by we the people, we the citizens. And I'm speaking to Christians. Now, some might disagree. If we have a listening audience that's listening today and someone disagrees with that, that says a Christian ought not to keep and bear arms, ought not to practice self-defense, call me. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear the rationale. I'd love to see the scripture that you won't use to validate your position in being a pacifist. Joseph, you're exactly right, brother. Thank you so much for your input, for your call, and for the dialogue and discussion that we're having today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the right to keep and bear arms. And the sub-point of that is, should Christians be armed? Should we be armed? Should we carry a weapon? Should we have a weapon in our home? We have such restrictions today that it is absolutely horrific to think about what is the potential with that. I'm looking at an article that says Jan Psaki says, and she's the press secretary. She's a Looney Tune, but she's the press secretary for Biden. Says Biden has not ruled out using executive orders to crack down on gun rights. It's a well-known fact that most Democrats have an irrational fear and visceral hatred for guns and they will use any means necessary to limit Americans' constitutional rights to have them. With this in mind, it makes perfect sense that the President, Joe Biden, would use executive orders to limit Second Amendment rights to keep and bear arms, a radical agenda euphemistically described as common sense gun law reform. In a media briefing Tuesday, House Press Secretary Jen Psaki fielded a question from a reporter about the president's proposal to strategically include it in a statement Sunday commemorating the third anniversary of the Parkland shooting, school shooting. Reluctant to miss an opportunity to stand on the graves of dead children and pontificate, Biden pulled at the heartstrings of his statement by delivering the final gut punch to the Second Amendment, promising that he will not wait for the mass shooting to heed that call to protect students by disarming them. We will take action to end our epidemic of gun violence and make our schools and communities safer, Biden said. He quote, Joe Biden, President Biden, Basement Biden, Sleepy Joe, Cognitively Challenged Joe, says today I'm calling on Congress to enact common sense gun law reforms, including requiring background checks on all gun sales, banning assault weapons, high capacity magazines to be banned, eliminating immunity of gun manufacturers who knowingly put weapons of war on the streets, he added. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the right to keep and bear arms. We're asking the question, should Christians be armed? Should Christians have the right to self-defense? Should Christians look at it from the standpoint that it's the Christian's responsibility, or is that antithetical to what the Bible says? The telephone number is 831-0916, 831-0916. Love to hear from you. If you have any opinions on this, if you have any solid grounds by which those opinions are made, love to hear from you. James Donald says, the usual road to slavery is the fact that they take away your guns, then they take away your property. Then last of all, they tell you to shut up, sit down, and enjoy it. It was George Mason that said, to disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave any people, end quote. And that's exactly what we see the move today in Washington as far as their design purpose and where they're going with the disarmament of the citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, those in Washington think that arms are okay. Those in Washington feel that somehow, some way, they need to be protected with the barrier, the walls, and with the armed guards. But somehow, some way, they feel that we should not be protected. It is something, ladies and gentlemen, that we need to recognize is a danger that's looming over us. Could it be, ladies and gentlemen, let me just postulate a question. You can respond to it if you like, or you need not. That's left up to you. Could it be that the wall, the fences, and the razor wire, and the armed guards around the Capitol complex, could it be that the handlers, Joe Biden and his handlers, by the way, I don't believe Joe Biden's making a decision. I believe that every decision that's made, all of the executive orders, about 48 of them that's been signed thus far, I believe his handlers, Kamala Harris and others, are the ones that's promulgating those executive orders. Joe Biden is simply the puppet that's signing them. But could it be Joe Biden and his handlers realize that their socialist, Marxist, Maoist, communist agenda to disarm America could cause an armed uprising, and they're preparing for that? That's just my off-the-cuff thinking. Is that possible? Most are not aware that the U.S. House, led by Empress Nancy Pelosi, they already have six, and we'll talk about them in just a moment after the top of the hour news. They already have six gun control bills in the hopper, in the works, that's working its way through the U.S. House of Representatives. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break at the top of the hour for our news. We're going to come back and continue our conversation. Should Christians be armed? I pray that you'll stay tuned. Don't turn your dial, ladies and gentlemen, as we continue to discuss that today. Should Christians be armed? We're talking about the doctrine of self-defense. Does the Bible give us the right to keep and bear arms? Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.